Until the time his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of people, and let him go free. Hello, dear friend. Get ready to receive your sent word from the Lord through his servant,
Reverend Dr. Solomon Olawunyite.
Be sure that your life will receive all round increase in Jesus' name.
People of God, shout hallelujah! I see an army rising. Shout hallelujah! Please be seated. Thank you so much. The Lord will honor you. It's a privilege to be here. And I want to appreciate the servant of the Lord, Pastor BJ, and the wife. I want to thank God for what the Lord is doing through you. I want to appreciate all the ministers of God here. It's my prayer that the Lord will continue to do greater things through us, in our lives, and in our ministry, in Jesus' name. We have a lot to do in this very short time. So you will bear with me. I wish I can interact with you more. But we have a very serious business. Because I see an army rising. Hallelujah. I see God looking at you and waiting for you. I see your generation waiting for you to rise. I see the people of God waiting for you to rise. In fact, I see the world waiting for you to rise. God is actually waiting for you. And the time of your rising has come. I'll be sharing on the making and the deploying of an army. It's a follow-up to what you heard yesterday and what you heard this morning. Shall we pray to the Lord? God, prepare me a sanctuary, your and only right and true. Wait and see. I'll be a living your children. Let it work wonders. Through it, raise men. Men that will become champions. Men that will put down strongholds. Men that will shake their generation. So shall it be. In Jesus' name we pray. Open your Bible quickly with me to Joshua chapter 1. And Jeremiah chapter 51. We'll read just a few verses so that we can speak to those verses as we discuss on the making and the deploying of an army. Joshua chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I am giving you, as I said to Moses. Will you move now to Jeremiah very quickly? We'll read just 3 or 4 verses there. From verse 20. Jeremiah 51 from verse 20. This is the word of the Lord. You are my battle axe and weapon of war, for with you I will break nations in pieces. With you I will destroy kingdoms. With you I will break in pieces the horse and the his rider. With you I will break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With you also I will break in pieces men and women. And with you I will break in pieces old and young. With you I will break in pieces the young man and the maiden. With you also I will break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you I will break in pieces the farmer and his yoke of oxen. And with you I will break in pieces governors and rulers. May the Lord bless his word in our hearts in Jesus' name. Since yesterday, in this conference, God has been speaking to us on something that is in his heart. What is that thing that is in the heart of God? It is the raising of men, not ordinary men. Amen. God has been speaking to us on the rising, on the emergence of an army in our generation. This is because God is about to fight a battle. This is because God wants to win a battle. This is because God is looking for men in our generation, men through whom he will fulfill that which he has desired to do. And I see God, while looking at thousands of people, perhaps millions of people who are believers, I see God looking at you. As you can see in that passage in Jeremiah chapter 51, I see God just looking at you and say, you are the one. And I know somebody will look at himself and say, me? Or are you talking about the reverend? I see God pointing straight to you, saying, you are the one. You are my battle axe. You are the one. You are my weapon of war. You are the one that I want to raise in this generation to do great and mighty things. You are my first one. I see God raising from among us men and women that he has thoroughly prepared in our generation. Now, listen to me. You have been listening to some, you will still listen to some other messages. But in this teaching, the focus is simple, and get it clear in a single statement. Armies of God are champions. Because they don't fail. And these armies of God don't just emerge. They are made and deployed. Hello? Armies of God are champions. No matter where they are, in any profession they are, wherever they are deployed, they don't fail. They are champions. But there is no sudden emergence of God's army. I want to summarize the message because my time will not be enough. So that when I'm going in depth into it, we can stop anywhere. Just get the most important thing. There is no sudden emergence. Sometimes we go into biribiri prayer and fasting. Sometimes we even go for great programs and God work wonders in those programs. But may I tell you, there has never been, there will never be sudden emergence of any army or champions. They are actually made. What does that mean? There is always a timeline between the time they are recruited, the time they are deployed, and the time you see them winning the battle. Hello? Are you getting what we are talking about? There is always a time between all these things in the program of God. So the question we want to look at is how, in what way, what is the strategy, what is the pattern we can see in the Bible by which God makes his people? May I tell you, people are many today in the church, but God is actually raising an army. God is raising a people. Those men who will triumph gloriously in their generation, who will not bring shame to him in the battle of life. He's raising men and women who will put down strongholds. He's raising men and women who will subdue kingdoms. He's raising men and women who will stop the mouth of lions. He's raising men and women who will rot righteousness in a perverse world. He's raising men and women who will be great valiant for God in their generation. He's raising men and women who will quench the fire, the violence of fire. Men and women who will escape the hedge of the sword. Just like Hebrew chapter 11, verse 34 put it. Because of the limitation of our time, I decided that we will narrow ourselves to look at how God raised a man from nowhere, because we don't know how this boy emerged. I'm talking about Joshua. I want you to see from his life how he became an instrument, because most often people just see, we talk about Joshua, we talk about David, how they emerged, we talk about Samson, how they emerged. You need to study their life to see that it is about process, not about one-time encounter. Hello? The making is a process, not an event. Hello? It is a process, not an event. The first thing we see in the life of Joshua about how God made him, which is the good news to all of us who are here, is that when it comes to the making of an army or champions, it is not by inheritance. It is simply by citizenship. Hello? You see, kingship comes by birthright. That is why, my God. You know, we are also kings and priests. There are dimensions of the Christian life. There is the glory you manifest because you are walking in kingship. That comes by birthright. But when it comes to being made into the army of God, it doesn't come by birthright. It's a serious matter. God, the issue is this. Because you are born into the family of Christ, you are in the commonwealth, the family of Christ. The truth is that you are already recruited, presumably, into the army. Hello? Because you are a citizen, you are qualified to be in the army. Let's just use the word qualified. Because it's only a citizen that is qualified to be in the army of a nation. So if you are not a citizen, you will never be qualified. You may stay long in that country, but until you become a citizen of that country, you cannot be recruited into the army of that country. So you can be in the church for long. You can receive grace for long. You can carry anointing for long, in quotes. But until you are genuinely in the family, you cannot be part of the army. We saw how God battered a nation. Joshua was never in the army until they left Egypt. Hello? It was when they left Egypt that the issue of becoming an army started. You can never be in the army of God if you are still in Egypt. Hello? Until you leave Egypt, you cannot be part of the family. You cannot be recruited. You are not even qualified for recruitment. But when you are a citizen, let's use Yoruba English, it doesn't matter who born you. Hello? You can be recruited into an army no matter who born you. Whether you are born from royalty or from humble background, you are qualified to be in the army. You know what I mean when you look at the Bible? That is why you see people like Jephthah that God recruited into his army in his generation. You remember the story of Jephthah? We don't know much about him. The only thing the Bible talked to us about him is the fact that he was a child born out of wedlock. Hello? Judges chapter 11. It doesn't matter whether you are a male or female. That was why God was able to recruit those who are even female. Women like Deborah. Hello? To be in the army. It doesn't matter whether you are the firstborn or the lastborn. That was why David could be recruited in the army. The issue that is simply needed is that you are a citizen. I want to assume that all of us who are here, we are citizens. I want to assume that most of us, since we are in leaders and ministers conference, who are here, we are even left Egypt. Because until you leave Egypt, you cannot get there. You can't be in Egypt and get to the promised land. Hello? And that is the problem with many believers. They are staying in Egypt, but they want to possess the Canaan land. You cannot be in Egypt and possess the promised land. Now, the second issue, and this is where we are going, is that even though you are a citizen, when you are recruited, we are talking about the making of an army, the first thing is that when you join the army, you are never deployed until you are trained. The greatest tragedy of our generation is that men receive, they come into the citizenship. Hello? They are anointed. Let's celebrate the servant of God, our vice chairman. You're welcome, sir. Maranatha Baptist Conference. The greatest tragedy in our generation is that men receive grace for salvation. They receive call and the anointing of God upon their life, and they move straight into the battlefront. Such men will die in the battlefront. Hello? They will be wounded in the battlefront. When men are recruited into the army, they are not sent to the battlefield until after necessary training. We will ask ourselves, in what way, in what manner do God train his men? Let's look at the Bible. How did God train David? How did God train Joshua that we are talking about? In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and chapter 16, we just saw that God was looking for somebody to fight for him. You remember the story? And he said, I found a man. And when he was even searching, remember the story in 1 Samuel chapter 16? And they brought people who were already in the army. God disqualified them. Said, this one can't fight my battle. Hello? You may be able to fight the battle of the world, you may not be able to fight the battle of the Lord. Hello? They were already in the military. Recruited. But God said, these ones cannot fight my battle. And God said, there is a boy. He's in the bush. Go and look for him. I want to draw your attention to two crucial issues in the training. What we saw in that place was the fact that while this boy was passing through the line, he probably did not know that God was training him. When he was facing the lion, it was a training. Hello? Do you know that when you are facing the lion, it's a training, so that you'll be able to kill Goliath tomorrow? When he was resting the sheep and not allowing the lion to kill the sheep, he was actually being prepared to protect the people of God. Because the lion did not face him, according to him, to his story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The lion actually faced the sheep. It was when he rescued the sheep that God was preparing him. Hello? Brothers and sisters, God prepared his men in the natural work that they are doing. Many of us are wasting for church ministry, for our preparation. You miss it. God was preparing him for kingdom assignment as a shepherd boy. When he was using his link to kill birds, God's interest was for him to be a sharp shooter. Hello? That will kill Goliath with just only one stone. Can you imagine if he missed the first stone and tried to pick the second one? Goliath will have killed him. So when I see brethren speaking tongue, blowing tongue, carrying grace, but making a mess of their daily work, I know they cannot go find ministry. God prepares his men in the mundane things of life. He allowed them to face challenges. That's number two. He was not only preparing him through mundane things, he was also preparing him by allowing him to face challenges, difficulties. God prepared his men, his armies. He made them through challenges. He made them by making them to confront and conquer. Number three, I'm still talking about that preparation, that initial one. Do you also notice that for Joshua and even for David, after Joshua was recruited, he was just doing what you can call follow. Hello? Say, Joshua, my servant, is dead. Who is Moses, my servant, is dead. Who was Joshua? God did not even call him my servant. The Bible called him Moses' head or servant. All he was doing was to follow the servant of God. Exodus chapter 24, verse 13. And Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. In the making, we also discover that God makes his people through serving others. Servanthood. I was actually struggling with that. And while looking at the life of Joshua, even though it looks like it is the same, I decided that no, I won't put it the same way. Servanthood and service, they are not the same. God uses the two. Hello? It was Joshua hates ministering to him. God makes his people and they are serving other people. When God does anoint you and you cannot humble and serve others, you cannot go far. Hello? He was serving. He was rendering service. He was carrying bag for him. Hello? He was following him around. And do you remember when they were going to the mountain? And they were going, and Joshua would have been proud. I'm going to Oga to go and meet God. And they got to a point, and Oga said, where are you going? I asked you to follow me, so you can't go more than this. Stay here. It's only me that will go and meet God. The boy did not complain. By the tabernacle and the tent, Joshua will stay outside, carrying bag with Oga. And they will get there, and Oga will say, stay outside. And we don't understand what Oga is doing inside. Do you remember Elisha and Elijah? I was just following you, and people said, do you know they will even take your Oga? This one that you are just doing, follow. That's something I've never said out before. I will say it out today. BJ was always following me, carrying bag and doing a lot of things. One day, I even thought I would die. I didn't tell people. I thought probably, that was almost 3 years ago, I thought probably my days were numbered. And as we were going after ministration, God said, it's today. Lay hands on him and release everything. And twice that has happened. It is not about praying for somebody. It's about transference of grace and anointing. Who are you serving that will transfer grace? It was service that brought Elisha to a point that Elijah said, what do you want? And said, give me double portion. He said, that one is hard. And if you can see me, you will get it. Who are you serving? This one that everybody is becoming big man, especially those of you who are Baptist pastors, of all denomination, problem to our local Jew, Lori, big manship as pastors. You know why? Because once you finish your training, if God helps you to get a good church, you have become your own Oga and general overseer. I'm sorry for you. You can't go far. Service. He was serving. You see him at Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 24, 12 to 13. When Ogar went to receive the Ten Commandments. You see him again, Exodus chapter 33, 7 to 11. Just follow him. And he was not following just as a young man. No. Do you know that he followed him till he was almost about how many years old? Hello? Even after God has called him, he was carrying grace and he was just doing follow for another 40 years. Eyo ti so do meta ni emi na gboro di senior pastor ewo ni keyan ma seyan. He was following, he was serving diligently for another 40 good years. He was such a humble, submissive, available, faithful, teachable, and loyal servant of God. No wonder God told Moses to confide in him. You see, in Exodus chapter 17, verse 14, he could confide in him. May I ask you, who is your mentor? Who is the one you are following? God doesn't make any man in the vacuum. God doesn't raise orphans. Hello? So there must be service. And you must be ready. Because this is how God makes, this is how God prepares those that he wants to use in any generation. Men, in the making, they are also tried and tested. Hello? I'm talking about the making of an army. If you have seen the training of the armies, you will see that no war, but they will go and be trying and test how they are fighting. Climb mountains, demonstrate as if there is a war, demonstrate it as if there is terrorists, attack. They do a lot of things. They practice, they prepare as if there is a problem. They are put under test. One day, not because God could not win the battle. In Numbers chapter 13 and 14, I believe it was a test. God said, go and spy the land. The last speaker has spoken about that a bit. And they spied the land, 12 of them. But only Joshua and Caleb came and said, we can go. They saw the same thing. Hello? They came with different reports. The 10 said, we saw it, the land is good. We can go. God, this one is an impossible task. We can't go. They saw the same thing. But two of them said, we can go because the Lord is with us. I was asking myself, why did God send them? Was it because God cannot win the battle without sending them? It was because God wanted them to see. See, when it comes to the making of champions, God, or making of an army, God always gives them vision. You cannot be in the army of God when you are blind to God, what God wants to do. Hello? You can never. That was also the difference between David and even Saul and the army. When God prepares his men for battle, he makes them to see things in God's perspective. Armies of God don't see things the way people see it. They see things in God's perspective. Why those ones saw the giants, the son of Anakims, the big wars, and they said, we cannot. Joshua said, we can because God is with us. Let us go and fight. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 72, why David, Saul said, look, he's a champion from his youth. You can't fight him. David said, who? That uncircumcised is an ordinary Philistine. Now he's not a champion. He's an uncircumcised Philistine. Why even the man was bragging? David said, I will kill you. He had no weapon as far as man is concerned. But he could see that this is a dead man. Others saw champions. I see many people that God has recruited into the army. When they see the world, they see champions that they cannot overcome. When God makes his army, he prepares them with vision. Because armies don't go to war, no matter their strength, without appropriate intelligence. Hello? No army go to war without first studying the enemy. They must have the reports before they will go and fight. So, what God is doing in your life is to prepare you with knowledge. What does that mean? In the making of an army, God prepares his men with knowledge. He gives them knowledge, understanding. Because no man go to war without being knowledgeable about the people they are going to fight. See, when you are now going into the battle and you are narrow-minded, I see many in our generation so narrow-minded, not open to learn from God. Have you ever asked yourself, those who are in the military, they will call some of their engineers, what is the connection between being a military man and an engineer? Ask any military man. They teach them virtually everything so that they can adapt, so that they can cope, so that they can also find solution to any problem. They build roads, they farm, they do a lot of things, and you begin to wonder yourself, what is the connection? Maybe they are military men. They should not teach them how to shoot now. God will not teach you only how to blow tongue. Hello? He will not only teach you how to cast out demon. God wants to put you through everything you need in life because he's not raising you as an ordinary person. In the making of an army, it is always, when it comes to God making his people, his army, he deals with us individually. In the making, it is when they are fighting that military people work together. Hello? When you are in training, you are on your own. That's why they can just, you can go for training and steal. Many people have gone for training now, and they return back home. They said, this one can't join the military. Because when you are there, you are on your own. You must dare to be different. You must be ready to stand all alone, no matter what you are passing through. Hello? Can you stand alone? Can you pray alone? Can you fight alone? Can you be in a situation that all of us are against God and you can still stand for the Lord? When he's asking, who is on the Lord's side? The Levite did not become Levites by accident. It was because they were singled out. When Moses asked that great question, who is on the Lord's side? God is raising a generation. He's making his people. But there will be people who are courageous in their generation to stand alone. People who understand that with God, they can confront, they can conquer. So for 40 years, this man was just going until Moses was about to go. And at the end of Deuteronomy, we saw how Moses actually introduced him and prayed for him. You know what shocked me? Even after Moses introduced him, pray and commission him, do you know that Joshua did not do anything? The people were still waiting. Hello? There is a gap between the making and the deploying. Let God finish with you before you rush into ministry. Don't be in a hurry. Many have made a mess of their life, a mess of ministry, because they did not wait for the time. Joshua waited for the time, just like David. Do you know that the time of Joshua waiting was also a very serious time of temptation? Because Moses was already old. Hello? And Joshua was even aware that God has rejected his master. You are not getting me. See if you remember the story. How God even said, climb the mountain, you will see it, you will not get there. And because he was close to Moses, he was there when Moses prayed first time, second time, until God told him, don't talk to me about this matter again. It's a close matter. You won't get there. How will you know that somebody you are following, God said he will no longer get there and you are still following him? You are not getting me. I see many of us rebelling. Say, God has finished with that, Baba. Hello? I see many of us pulling out. Say, now that is no longer relevant in the affairs of God. And we have received the anointing. Let's move on. This guy was still following him for many years, just like David. David's case was even more serious. How can you be anointed and you are still running errand? Don't be in a hurry. Some of us have been anointed, but instead of waiting for the time, instead of waiting for adequate preparation, you know what we do? We just move out. David was anointed. After the anointing, what did he do? He returned back to the bush until he killed Goliath and they brought him to the palace. He was anointed. He was only playing guitar for the rejected man. And God was using him. Anointing was flying. Demons were flying. Say any time a people a lawyer younger, some can't tell them is sure you go. I become you so that they back. Ah, hello. But yet, he was not in a hurry. You know, one of our slogans in Young and Dynamic, when you look for shortcuts, you will cut short your destiny. Men who look for shortcuts cut short their destiny. He waited. He was following until the man left. And suddenly, God now spoke. Tonight, God is going to speak. First, for somebody, the time of waiting is over. You don't understand. I'm speaking to somebody. For somebody, God is saying, don't be in a hurry, wait. But I see the same God saying for somebody, the time of waiting is over. Stop waiting. I'm ready to deploy you. I'm ready to give you the assignments. Your time of manifestation has come. And that is where we are going to close. That's why we read Joshua chapter 1. God now said to him, "My servant is dead." The Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, "Moses is." How can you start that way? Even at the point of deploying, after 40 years. The Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, "Moses aid." I still ask you, whose servant are you? Who will connect you to grace? "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, not tomorrow. For how long have you been waiting?" God does not train a man to waste him. God doesn't waste investments. Many of us, God has labored so much upon our life. When disciple, are you there? Oh, disciple, and the years after years, God has labored so much upon your life. He has released grace, He has released anointing, you have been well prepared. And there is a vacancy. I'm telling somebody today, there is a vacancy. That's what God told me. There is a vacancy. And it is for you to fill. You know, in your generation, God is saying, "My servants are dying. They are dying." I was afraid a few years ago when I was in choir. And I spoke to one of the Babas. Why was I afraid? I spent 27, 28 years in choir. And I was opportune. Many of you don't know how difficult the battle we face in choir in Christendom. But I was opportune to be close with those Baba, both ministers and laity. If you know the battle we face in politics, concerning Christianity, concerning your career, concerning everything, some of you will run away from choir. But I saw all of them going one by one. From our icon, he knows. Many of you don't know what they call the Lord's Union of Christian Churches. Many of you don't know ICAN. You don't know anything. It is this tomato thing that we are doing now that you know. And I saw all these giants that will confront these people, who will fight the battle both spiritually and physically. I saw all of them going. And I told one of the only two or three that is remaining. The truth is that inquirer now left among those generations are just few. I can count them. Say, "Baba, I'm afraid." Say, "Why?" I said, "All of you are going." And he looked at me. He said, "That is why you are there." And I also said to myself, "Where are the other people who will fight together? All these people that will get to government, that they will give them 20,000 naira, 50,000 naira, and they will keep quiet. All these people that they will threaten, where they will kill them. Do you know how many times they visited me with guns? Those are stories for another day. Do you know how many times they visited me with powers, looking at them like this in my window? Spiritually, and God will wake me up. You know, battles that people fought. And I was afraid. And I see God saying, "My children are there. I'm raising a generation. I'm preparing men and women that will put down the stronghold in this city. And you are one of them." I see God saying, "I have made some of them. I'm just about to deploy them." God said, "Now, just Joshua, you and the people, get ready to cross the Jordan. When God trained his men, he deployed them to cross Jordan. Why will crossing the Jordan be the first assignment? That's a story for another day. You know, I love Joshua because he was prepared. Do you know that God did not tell him? Did they go and read Judges, Joshua chapter 3? God just told him, get ready to cross the Jordan, you and the people. And the man just went and he told them, God is making you, God is deploying you. You must go with vision. You must go with courage. You must go with authority. Do you know it was him? And God told him, wheresoever the sole of your feet step upon, you will take as a possession. That is, you are the one who will set limit for yourself. It's not me. I've allowed you to take charge, to take over to any extent you want. So don't be afraid. I'm with you, as I was with Moses. The man said, is that so? He said, we should go cross Jordan. Just to the, and when they got to Jordan, Jordan was already overflow. And Joshua said to them, in 3 days. Did God tell him 3 days? You will cross this Jordan. Sanctify yourself. Get ready. We are crossing over. My brothers and sisters, my time is up. I've not finished, but I will finish now. Get ready. Because it's your time to manifest. The time of deploying is the time of manifestation. The time of deploying is the time that God announces you. The time of deploying is the time that grace begins to flow. And people will not know that all this has been there all along. Where was Joshua all along? And Joshua said, carry the ark. Or you are stepping. He was not even using his August method. Say, step in. And you know what God told him? God said to him, verse 7. Said, from this day, I will begin to show you or to manifest you in the eyes of this people, so that they will know that I'm with you. When God make and deploy, he move people into the realm of the supernatural, so that people will see and know. Let me speak to somebody before we pray. Say, God has called me, God has called me, until they can see and know. It's not about shouting. It's not about fighting them. When I see pastor, fighting church member, they don't respect me. They don't care for me. They don't do. You better go and pray. When they see and they know, they will run after you. When Joshua steps in, he says, step in. And they step in. Do you see anybody asking Joshua a question again? In fact, the trouble is your God. Nobody there troubled him. Iwola makoko. Aye mi o. Oluwa mami. Mami bo ti fe. Iwola makoko. Aye mi o. Oluwa mami. Mami bo ti fe. Sing that song 2 more times and you are going to pray. You know why? It will be tragic if it is time for God to raise his army and to fight, and your life is not ready. Mami, you are the potter of my life. You are the potter of my life. I give me Baba. Lord, walk my life, break me, mold me, mold me, mold me.
They may fail.
they will also win. Hello? I don't know if you are that person. I hear somebody, and God told me before to talk about this army. Armies of God are not men who never fail before. But they are men who never end failing in life. I hear somebody just saying, I failed God. And God said to me, today is your day of restoration. I don't want to know where you are failing, whether it is personal, whether it's moral, whether it's ministry, whether you change the assignment, just settle it on the altar. Lord, if you are that person, come and sort it out. You are not a failure. Come and sort it out. Joshua failed. You can be reconnected. God is doing something. Please shut it up. God is moving, They don't buy their own guns. They are not even expected to buy their own uniform. Even the house they live are to be prepared for them. All resources is released when you are recruited to the army. I see God releasing his resources today. That is why we are going to sing, Let the Fire Fall. You will ask him to release that resources. In the making of his army, he provide resources for the battle. What do you need? There is somebody who is saying, I can't do it, I lack it. I don't know that thing you say, you lack for the assignment. Sort it out on the altar now. He wants to release it. Moses said, I can't speak. Can you imagine it was the same Moses who said, I can't speak? I see somebody saying, I don't have a weapon. Samson did not have any weapon. I don't know that thing that you lack. Let a fire fall today. We are sons and daughters, brothers and my friends, let a fire. It is raining all around me. I can feel it, feel it. The Lord's release. Release it. You better come. But don't take it lightly. Just like I did not have time to explain it. In the making too, your entanglement with the affairs of the world will determine how far you will go. No army entangled himself with the affairs. Do you know where you are in ministry? It doesn't matter whether you are married. And your home was also not faith. You haven't failed. You are having a problem with your wife. You are fighting your wife. They can send you out. But yet, you may not have time for your wife. Hello? You may not have time for anything. Because you don't entangle yourself. I see God wanting to use many people, but you are too entangled. This civilian affairs is too much. You can't be a military and still entangle yourself. In the making, they separate them to the barrack. Are you in the barrack? They are secluded from the world. They are cut off. Your own. Every morning, you're already in the phone with the world. How will you become an army? You're entangled with affairs. You're entangled with the things of the world. Everything they are doing, you are doing them little by little. Lord, I ask for these ones. You will manifest. You will emerge. The time of your manifestation has come. You walk in glory. You walk in power. You walk in grace. Go now and manifest in Jesus' name.
We are confident that you have been blessed. Do well to share with your friends and families. To listen and access more life-transforming messages and resources, download the TFPAW mobile app from any of the Play Stores or visit our website www.tfpaw.org. Do well to subscribe to our YouTube channel at official_TFPAW, Facebook and Twitter at official_TFPAW. For further inquiries and counseling, you can reach us on the following phone numbers: 0803-9413-665 and 0816-7829-390. God bless you.